Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The only guy in America who knows more about football than me, it's our very own Greg Cosell.
And, of course, also as he joins us, right? Yep,
River Island. Very humble today as well.
River Island's guest.
It's close too, Greg, honestly.
This is what happens when I let him talk. We forgot to say that you're joining us on the River Island's guest line.
Yeah.
But and that you have become one of America's foremost handicappers. So we'll be asking you for I guess we can't ask you for a pick this week, Greg.
I won't be doing that this week.
The Niners don't play.
No, they do not, and they're 9-4 now, huh?
I mean, that feels like a contender record, Greg.
It is a contender record. You know, I didn't look at their schedule for the remaining games, but obviously they'll have some division games, so it's going to be a fun time down the stretch, guys. With let's see, 9-4. That would be 13.
Four to play.
Four games left.
One of them is a division game. They will host Seattle the final game of the year.
And who are the other three?
So they will host Tennessee, and then they will go on the road to Indy, and then they will host the Chicago Bears.
Oh, so you'd have to assume, and then we'll really talk real stuff. Speculating, which is, the fun part, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to assume they're going to beat Tennessee. So then they've got three pretty tough games.
Right. Yeah, so can't wait to dive in because each one of those have their own sort of idiosyncrasies, especially the Bears.
Yep.
They're sitting at the one seed, but a lot of people don't think they're the best team and whatnot. But before we get so ahead of ourselves, let's go back to Cleveland. And I would sort of love, and maybe this is easy, I know you get tired of the Purdy stuff, but coming off of a 3-interception game and then coming into a game where there was bad weather and a really good front, his decision-making, I thought, was different and really good. But what did you see from his play, taking all that into account?
Well, he's obviously the best quarterback to ever play the game, don't you think?
Facts.
Cut that. And that's what I'm talking about. There you go, Greg.
Well, it's funny because, on Sunday, to be honest with you guys, I watch the Red Zone. Sunday is my day where I actually just enjoy football. So I'm not just watching one game. I just let it roll over me. I enjoy it, because I kind of work a few hours during the week. So Sunday is just kind of let me watch some football and be a normal human being. So, I don't see every single play, obviously. So when I put the tape on and I see the first play of the game, I just thought to myself, well, that's just Kyle Shanahan. And I don't know if you guys remember the first play of the game.
Where
he had used check for 23 yards. I mean, that was so classic Shanahan, the way they have this new thing, and I have to find out what it's called. I don't know what they call it, where Juszczyk is kind of in an angle alignment and he goes in motion and they do multiple things off of that. He has multiple motion concepts and they do multiple things. It's become a staple of their offense. I'm sure you guys know what I mean. You can visualize it.
Yep.
But this time on that play, he released inside of Kittle to the closed boundary, and he ran a corner route. I mean, there's no way, and Jim Schwartz is absolutely one of the best who's been doing it for years and years and years, as you guys know, as a D coordinator in this league. But there's no way that he anticipated that was going to be the first call of the game. No way. And Purdy off play action boot hit Juszczyk for 23 yards, and it just made the game right off the bat feel like, oh, this could be an interesting game. You know, and to me, that's just, you know, where Kyle is so good with those kinds of things.
And even all the teams that now emulate Shanahan's motion, they have come up with that now, Greg, which is kind of what you talked about, the angle motion where he's almost 45 degrees to the line of scrimmage, and he'll either come inside and help the tackle, or he'll go outside and help the tight end, or in this case, he'll kind of wiggle out. Has Shanahan really innovated even more off of his crazy motion now that teams are starting to copy him?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a slight innovation for sure. You know, I'm not one who ever uses the word revolutionize. I don't use that word, but I think it's just an innovation off the fact that Kyle's always been a high percentage motion guy, as you guys know. He's believed that, just like Sean McVay believes in high percentage motion. More and more teams obviously use motion now than ever before for multiple reasons. So you're always trying to find a way to show emotion and do things off that particular motion, because there's not going to be 1,000 motions. So what you have to do is try to figure out what you can do off motions, maybe a little tweak, like what we're just talking about. Like I said, I wish I knew what they called it, but I think people can visualize that Juszczyk kind of lines up. It's almost like a wing alignment, but he's angled, and then he does multiple things in the pass game, in the run game. They do a lot of different things off of it, and you know, I'm sure teams that the Niners will play will study this in detail and see if they can find some kind of tell, some kind of indicator. But, you know, obviously I'm not studying the way a defensive team in the league will, where they have six guys who are going through this, and I'm just, you know, one little lonely guy watching this, but it's pretty cool.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films, joining us here, Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game, as he does every Wednesday. Greg, I don't even know how to ask this question, because you're so good with regard to, like, the way the X's and O's come together. Are there right. X's and O's in special teams? Because the Niners went.
Asking me about something I truly don't know about.
Well, there
so
you go. That's
I,
why.
You know, there I, are, though.
Yeah, that's why. There like, I'm. How did they go from the worst special teams team in the league to the best?
Yeah. That I can't answer. I'm just being honest. But, you know, years and years ago, I'm going back 15 years, maybe longer. One of the best special teams coordinators in the league for years, a guy named Bobby April. I think his son is a coach. He came and spent a day with me. And this goes back a long time, so I certainly don't remember all the details. You know, he walked through a lot of things with me, and obviously that it has advanced in 15 years, just like everything has advanced. But yes, special teams is tactical, just like everything else. Nothing in this league is done on a whim. You know, I know a lot of fans, when teams don't do well, you know, they don't realize. I've been fortunate in my career, guys, that I've been able to go to training camps. Coaches have allowed me to sit in meetings. So I see all the details. And boy, is it detailed. That's the thing that always resonates with me when I sit in meetings. And obviously, I've been watching coaching tape. I think we got the coaching tape in 1991. So I've been watching coaching tape since then. And I keep learning and learning and learning. You're always learning. But nothing is done on a whim. Everything is detailed. Now, does that mean it's executed properly all the time? Of course not. I remember Merrill Hodge, who I worked with for years and years, one of my best friends, would always say, coaches have all the power but no control. Because you can coach it and coach it and coach it, but, you know, then the players have to go out and do it. You can't do it for them. So, but everything is coached. There's nothing that is, you know, just left to, hey, you know, I always use this example with quarterbacks, particularly the quarterbacks that are movement guys and make a lot of plays outside of structure. Still, practice is not, hey, they don't roll the ball out and say, let's run around and make a play today. That's, you know, I'm sure you guys have been able over the years to see some 49ers, you know, practices and all that. Everything is detailed. And I'm sure when it's not done right, Kyle lets the people know who are not doing it right that, hey, that's really not the way you want it done.
Yeah, and for Cleveland, you've got Cordy catching a kickoff out of bounds, and then Larvandian muffs a punt. So I don't know if that's
And you know what? The muffed punt, you know, I saw that play live, you know, because obviously Red Zone shows plays like that. You know, it's a turnover. You know, I mean, what as a coach, what are you going to do there? I mean, and then people say things like, well, it's bad coaching, you know, because they made a mistake on special teams. You know, again, you know, and I understand as in every profession, Some guys are, you know, coaches are better than others. It's like any profession. But, you know, when a guy drops a punt like that, I don't – and that was deep in his own territory too. I mean, I think that was – they were already in the red zone when he muffed the punt, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, what do you say? I mean, you know, is that Kevin Stefanski's fault?
Yeah, I think that he coached him to actually catch the ball. So I'm going to put
probably.
That –
my guess is they probably did that when they were working on that.
Yeah, and that's that great analysis by you.
Didn't coach him hard enough, obviously.
Apparently not. And it's Greg Cosell here on 95.7 The Game. I do want to take you back to the previous touchdown where Brock Purdy, and you already praised him as the best quarterback ever, but the read option, walk me through the read option play. Third and goal from the two felt to me like – 99% of the time he would give that, but he didn't. What did you see that he saw, Greg?
Oh, you mean that you're talking about the 2-yard touchdown on third and goal late in the third quarter,
correct,
right?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. I mean, that was just your basic zone read. They don't do that very often. And how many times, you know, the one thing I can't remember was McCaffrey in the game or Robinson, but it doesn't matter.
It was McCaffrey.
The point is, it was McCaffrey, yeah, because I know Robinson did play some meaningful snaps in this game. So we know that McCaffrey, I mean, he's a touchdown machine, you know. So he gets the ball in those situations. So it was a great call because the first two plays, I believe, you know, they didn't go anywhere. And then we saw that the linebacker, Diabati, I believe it was, he crashed inside off the edge really hard. You know, he's looking to tackle McCaffrey and make a hero play, and Purdy just kept it. And you know what? You could have walked into the end zone on that one. It was so good. So it was just a really another really good call. And by the way, I thought the Jennings 7-yard touchdown too was a great example of just using motion, you know, and that was also a third down play, by the way, and that's so critical. You know, I'm not saying anything profound to say that you've got to score touchdowns in the red zone, but you know, there's ways to do that. And I've never been a believer, and they don't have those kinds of receivers. I've never been a believer, you know, in the fade ball, throwing it up. So you've got to scheme it. And I thought that obviously the Purdy 2-yard touchdown and the Jennings 7-yard TD were just beautifully schemed plays.
Greg, I'm curious, after 2 weeks as a starter, what is your review of Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah, he was not very good in this game. And you know, it's funny because the way he wasn't very good, guys, because obviously if you look at his numbers, you know, you go, oh, they're not terrible. But he just really didn't turn it loose in this game on throws that were there. And again, I don't know if I can't be in his head, but he struggled at times in this game processing from the pocket, with the result being that he left throws on the field that were there. Jerry Jeudy, if he threw the ball the way he should have, would have had 150 yards receiving. He missed Jeudy a number of times, and not the obvious one where he overthrew him, you know, where everybody just sees that. Times where he didn't throw it to him when the play design was clean, and he's got to make those throws. You know, and one issue he had in college, which he showed again, he's been showing in the two games in which he played. This you can coach, by the way. He must learn to keep both hands on the ball when he moves in and out of the pocket. He has a very strong tendency to just hold the ball with one hand, and you cannot do that in this league. You just can't. But there were just too many times where the design of the play was really there. It was clean, and he just, for whatever reason, did not turn it loose. This was a game where just the processing part, the mental part, was just not there. And, you know, it's not enough reps to make any judgment, guys, believe me. I don't want people to think, oh, I'm deciding he can't play in the league. That's not true at all. This is only what the tape showed in this game. He's going to continue to play. He just needs more and more reps, and hopefully he continues to get better.
Yeah, and Deshaun Watson's practice window has been open, so maybe he'll hear footsteps from Deshaun Watson. I doubt that he actually will.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what that means, Scott. He hasn't played in a long time, and then when he did play in Cleveland, he was actually not – you wouldn't even say he was not very good. He was bad.
Right.
So I don't know where he stands in his career at this point in time. And, again, we're not going to get into the other stuff.
No.
But there was a time in it through his first, what, 3-4 I can't remember how many years he was in Houston before he signed the big deal with Cleveland. But he looked like he was on his way to being a top five quarterback in the league. And it kind of all fell apart. And now he hasn't played in so long that, I mean, who knows?
Yeah, off the field and on the field, he has not done very well.
No.
He has not looked good. Greg, as we enter the bye week for the 49ers, I just thought that we could ask you about, in general, the NFC and what you've seen, because
sure,
it feels like every team has its warts. When you look around the rest of the NFC, who really catches your eye as a team that you can bank on?
You know, it's funny you say that, because I've always been a believer, and I don't know if we've had this conversation, that if a team has, whether you want to call it a weakness, a flaw, something that's not very good, it's the NFL, guys. That can crop up and hurt you anytime. So look what happened with the Rams. What is their weakness on the defensive side of the ball? It's the corner position, because their front's really, really good. So obviously that was a game where no one thought that Carolina would beat them, but how did Carolina beat them? They hit some big plays in the pass game in critical moments, because the as I said, the weakness, flaw, whatever you want to call it, for the Rams defense is their corners. So it bit them in the you-know-where in this given game. It can happen any time in the NFL. And, you know, and that's just the way the league is. You know, they're still – even the bad teams, you know, they're still NFL players, and you never know in a given game, you know, that can happen. And it happened to the Rams.
So if you do kind of look around the league, though, I maybe here's a different way to ask it. Styles make fights. It, of the other good teams in the NFL, what do you think would be kind of the most difficult matchups, if you will, for what the 49ers do?
Well, first of all, you know, I think that another team in their division is very good and getting better, and that's Seattle.
Yep, sure.
Seattle's defense is very, very good, and I know they play them again, as you said. They end the season with them, is that correct?
Correct. Last game of the year, yeah. And where is that game? It's in San Francisco.
Okay.
Yep.
You're right. They you know, Mike McDonald is just, and I've heard him speak, you know, I don't spend a lot of time listening to press conferences and things like that, but every once in a while, you know, particularly when I watch tape and see something, sometimes I say, oh, I'd love to hear the coach talk about something. He's a really sharp guy, and their defense is getting better and better. The way they use their personnel, the way he's so multiple with his fronts, shows you different things, a lot of late rotation and coverage. You know, their defense is just getting better and better, and they've got that, you know, that puzzle player in Nick Emmanuel, the 6'3 and plus 220-pound, you know, safety, slot corner, whatever you want to call him, who ran, I think, a 4.37, 4.38 at the combine. You know, they're really, really good. The front's good. The defense is getting better. Their weakness per se, if you want to call it a weakness, is they don't run the ball with the consistency that they want. So, you know, in any given game, could that be a problem where all of a sudden they're if it a game comes down to where they're facing a lot of third and longs, does that become an issue? You know, maybe it does. But you know, their defense is just a really, really good defense. Devin Witherspoon made a play this week. It was actually a 13-yard game by T.J. Hockenson, but he ran from one side of the field to the other. And when I watched the tape, I had to just watch it a couple times and go, oh, my God, that's Devin Witherspoon. I mean, so they're a fun defense to watch, and they're a tough team to play against.
Yeah, week 18, it'll be fun to see if that game actually matters. Greg, I just wanted to get your thoughts here as we get close to the end about Philadelphia. Yeah, sure. Like, what do you see from the Eagles on tape? Are they good enough to defend, or are they a train wreck, or somewhere in between?
Well, I think that I can only tell you what the tape shows.
Of course.
I think probably if you're making a big statement, there are probably some people who, because they still have a good roster, are just waiting for them to be, quote-unquote, the Eagles, and then other people who are saying what you just said, that, hey, this is one of those seasons where it's falling apart. We don't really know the answer to that. That's for the future. But what the tape shows, look, their identity last year, people keep saying, what's their identity? Well, their identity...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Is running the football. They're not a drop back passing team. So if they can't run the football, their offense does not have any real consistency to it. So we know what their identity is. They've just been bad at that identity. And they don't have another thing they can do. See, that's the problem. They're not a drop back passing team. So if they can't run the ball and they get caught in too many long yardage situations, because they lead the NFL in going 3-and-out this year, which was probably not on anybody's bingo card before the season, that the Eagles would lead the NFL in going 3-and-out on offense. But they don't have a true drop back passing game. So therefore, they get stuck on offense. And that's been a huge, huge problem for them.
Greg, I really want to ask you about one of the Niner receivers because he's been a favorite in our conversations through the last couple of seasons, quite frankly, and that's Ricky Pearsall. And I want to know, coming back from this injury, what you see, because he looks a little bit like the forgotten guy in the passing game. Three games since his return, five total catches for 19 yards and only a total of nine targets. What do you see is going on with him?
I mean, to me watching, I don't see anything going on with him personally. You know, we've talked about the fact that, you know, they're kind of a passing game that doesn't focus on a player. But obviously nine targets in three games is a very small amount for a starting wide receiver. The only way I would answer that is let's see how the season keeps progressing. You know, he came back from an injury. He missed more time than I think a lot of people thought he would when we first found out about the injury. You know, it seemed like every week, oh, Ricky might be back this week. And then all of a sudden a month goes by and he hadn't played. So, you know, again, I don't, you know, missing that time is a big deal. So let's just see how it goes. You know, I doubt he's lost his ability. You know, that doesn't really happen. I mean, he's a young player. So let's just see how it plays out. I mean, we've talked about the fact that there are some games in which Kittle doesn't have a lot of targets. Obviously, in this game, he had the 33-yarder, which was a great catch. And then he had a really big play where the Browns played zone that got him down into the low red zone. It was a 14-yarder. Let's see how it goes. You know, but it is a little strange. I certainly don't have an answer to that, you know, because I'm not there. But, you know, nine targets in three games is you'd expect a lot more.
Yeah, very, very low, obviously. All right, so as we said, no Niner game this week. So we'll give you the entire league, Greg. What's Greg Cosell's lock of the week for week 14?
Oh, God, I'm trying to look at what we're doing in my mashup show this week. There's some big games.
Very big games.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm fascinated by the Bengals and the Bills, and obviously that's the AFC, so, you know, maybe fans in San Francisco are not necessarily focused on that one. But Burrow is back. He's just a different cat. I mean, you watch him play. I had a coach describe him to me and tell me he's a computer chip. He just sees the game. You know, it's intuitive. You know, there are times Purdy's like that too, just the way he sees it. Burrow just makes the Bengals a team that you never know. And by the way, their defense has somewhat improved the last couple of weeks. And the Bills are a very, very odd team to me.
Yep.
Because they've got a quarterback who, you know, to me is the most physically gifted quarterback in the league. And I've believed that for years. And yet they don't really throw the ball a lot if the game doesn't call for it. And I'm pretty sure it's because they don't feel good about their wide receiver core. But they are a running football team. I mean, who would have thought that James Cook would have 232 carries at this point in the season? You know, and he's not a big man, so you wonder, you know, if he's going to hold up. But they're a fascinating team to me because they have this quarterback that really is not being asked to do very much. And then the game that is truly fascinating is also an AFC game, is the Texans and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because the Chiefs, it appears, are going to be playing with two backup tackles. That's what it looks like as of now. Now, we're talking on a Wednesday. Who knows, you know, tomorrow's there's practice, Friday's there's practice, but they're two starting tackles. One of them's on IR. The other didn't practice today. So if they're playing with backup tackles against Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, And by the way, the interior of their D-line is pretty good, too. And they've got stars everywhere on their defense. That's a fascinating game to me. A fascinating game.
Boy.
Texans and Bengals parlay. Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, boy, it would be such a shame if the Chiefs missed the playoffs, yeah. Greg. Such a shame.
Yeah. I know you guys would be unhappy about that. You know,
I wouldn't want that.
Well, it's funny. I remember a couple years ago, and I'm sure you guys remember it extremely well, and it just shows you how fans are, walking out of the stadium in Las Vegas, and fortunately I was staying in Mandalay Bay, which was the league hotel, so I could walk. And obviously it was the game that the 49ers lost to the Chiefs.
Oh,
and, you know, there are a lot of questions, the whole deal. And I'm listening to 49ers fans, and I don't engage. You know, I'm just walking and smiling. And all I'm hearing is, you just got to fire Shanahan. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. You know, because it's so raw in that moment. You know, you're a big fan. You live and die with it, and you just lost a game that you easily could have won. And you're just feeling like, you know, you got to blame somebody.
It's funny, Greg. I don't remember the game you're talking about at all.
Me either. Yeah.
It's been. So anyway, hey, Greg. Great stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey guys, I love being with you every week. Thanks so much.
Us too. All right, Greg Cosell, NFL Film.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.